So our text is from 1 Thessalonians, these words, but test everything, hold fast what is good. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to hold fast to what is good, it's not as easy as it sounds. It's not as easy as it sounds. You'd think it'd be a simple matter to find that which is good. Hold on to it, hold fast to it, as our text says, and never let it go. Keeping it always secure and never, ever, ever allowing it to be taken away from us. But again, it's not so easy, is it? Not so easy. One of the good things from my childhood that I remember was my Aunt Lori's cheesecake. I only got to see my Aunt Lori once a year when we would make our annual trek to Illinois in the summertime, and without fail, Aunt Lori's cheesecake would be part of that experience. It was fabulous. It had the perfect color, perfect texture, feel, taste. It had that graham cracker crust on the bottom, cherries on the top. Now, years later, Aunt Lori shared that recipe for the cheesecake with us, and well, never been able to replicate it. Why? Did she leave a key ingredient out? Was there something special about the water or milk products in Rockford, Illinois? Is it that my taste buds just are not what they were when I was a child? Whatever the case, we've lost it. We've never been able to replicate that cheesecake. My Aunt Lori, she died number of years ago. And her house where we ate the cheesecake, it burned to the ground just 2 years ago. So it's gone. That good thing from my childhood is gone. It's gone in more ways than one. So it's hard. Hard to hold fast to that which is good. Of course, when the Apostle Paul notes that the Christians in Thessalonica were to hold fast what is good, he wasn't talking about something like cheesecake. He was talking about preaching, and specifically preaching about Christ. The good things that were preached about Christ were to be held on to. They were to be held fast. And the rest, well, the rest must be let go of. I think we can grasp this idea, can't we? We can grasp this idea. For even today, there is much said, much preached, much taught about Christ, and we too are faced with holding fast to what is good, and letting go to the rest. Letting go of the rest. For example, a commercial that's running on television right now for the cult known as Mormonism features an image of Jesus being nice to someone. Now, it's great that Jesus is shown in such a way, to be kind and gentle and friendly, and for certainly he was and is. But the reason Mormonism is not a Christian denomination but a cult is that Mormons do not believe that Jesus is God. Mormons don't believe that Jesus is God. So the person who looks for Jesus, the Savior of the world, God who became man, the Son of God, born for us, yes, the person who looks for the real Jesus among the Mormons, not going to find him. Now, the same could be said about Islam. Muslims, too, have many good things to say about Jesus, but what they also do not say is that he's God, and even that he died on the cross. What Muslims are taught and believe is that some other person died on the cross for Jesus, like Thomas. So for both Mormons and Muslims, Jesus is a good guy. He's a prophet even, but he's not God. And he's not our Savior from sin and from death and the devil. This is not too difficult to figure out. But especially at this time of year, we're bombarded by images and sayings and events and concerts and displays and performances, all of which present to us Jesus in one form or another, some subtly, some not so subtly. And it's funny. Funny, strange. Not funny, haha. It's funny, where we expect to find Jesus in a church, for example, we often don't find him we find Santa Claus or some sort of concert or secular holiday favorites and symbols. And where we don't expect to find Jesus really, for example, a concert hall, there he's found. In pieces like Handel's Messiah or Bach's Christmas Oratorio or other such classics performed by orchestras and choirs, many of the members of which do not even believe in him. So the challenge, perhaps, for us is that in being urged to hold fast what is good, we first must find the good. We first must find the good. Now, this is exactly what the people who were going out to see and to hear John the Baptist were doing. They were going out to find the good, the ultimate good, the forgiveness for their sin, the relief of their guilt, a reestablishment of some sort of righteousness, a holiness within themselves so that they could presumably feel good once again in their daily lives, or at least not feel so horrible. And that's odd. It really is odd, for they, the Jews of the day, had the temple there in Jerusalem. And what was the temple in Jerusalem but the visible sign that God was with them? That they were God's chosen people, that they were the children of Abraham with whom God had established his covenant. Yes, the temple was there in Jerusalem, in which sacrifices were sin for sin were made daily. At least animals were being sacrificed. But as we read in the Gospel of John, the people were frightened. They were frightened of the temple authorities, who kept a tight rein on the people there in Jerusalem, threatening to expel them from Jewish society, from the synagogue, if they didn't do what the temple authorities said, and if they didn't think how the temple authorities told them to think. Of course, there were Sadducees, theological leaders, theological thinkers of some sort there also, but you know, they tended to hang out with the rich, the mighty, the powerful. And what is more, those Sadducees, they taught that there was no afterlife, there was no heaven, no hell. There was also that group called the Pharisees, who certainly were the theologians of the people, of the common person, but they seemed to set the bar so high when it came to holiness, when it came to righteousness, that only they, the Pharisees themselves, were considered to be righteous by society. And what is more, Pharisees were known for their hypocrisy, for taking advantage of their position within society to benefit themselves. And to a certain extent, all three groups, temple authorities, Pharisees, Sadducees, they seemed to be in cahoots with each other. They all sat on the Sanhedrin, and they created a religious phalanx of sorts, which certainly was of benefit to them, but to no one else. And I'm not going to explain what a phalanx is. When you get home, Google it. Begins with PH. So the preaching of John the Baptist, himself a Levite, yeah, he could have served in the temple, John, but also a Nazarite, living according to the strictest interpretation of the law of Moses, which both the temple authorities and the Pharisees asserted was their thing. Yes, the preaching of John the Baptist taking place not in the temple, but in the wilderness, appeared to be the good for which the people yearned. And it was. It was good news, Scripture calls it, the preaching of John. It was a preaching that addressed their situation as sinners, in need of forgiveness. It was a preaching that addressed each individual person through baptism. And it was a preaching that pointed those who heard it not to a reliance on a genetic connection to Abraham or to the keeping of the Mosaic law, but to the one to whom both Abraham and Moses looked forward to see, and that is Jesus Christ. And it did so. For Jesus Christ would be and is more than a prophet like John the Baptist or Moses or Elijah. Jesus Christ was and is the very Son of God, God Himself, become man, so that He could also come to each and every one of us individually still through His Word and Spirit and touch every one of us sacramentally through baptism, through His body and blood, so that not only do we receive the forgiveness that He won for us by actually dying on the cross, but also that we can be convinced that this is so. And live each day of our lives with assurance and certain knowledge that this is so. So we can live being at peace with ourselves. But let's face it, in our sin, in our weakness, in our frailty, it is a challenge. It's a challenge to hold fast to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as He is for us, as He's good. Life happens. Relatives die. Houses disappear. Good experiences come to an end. And all around, we hear Jesus this and Jesus that. But let's not succumb in Charlie Brown-type fashion to the overwhelming nature of what can be the world's usage of the image and teaching of Jesus Christ for its own purposes, even as it has so effectively infected so many churches today. But let us hold fast to goodness, the good that is the preaching of John the Baptist that does not point us to John. I mean, think about it. John the Baptist, he didn't preach himself. John the Baptist didn't enrich himself by his preaching. John the Baptist did not seek to topple social structures by his preaching. No, John the Baptist preached something other, and that something other was the good. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that alone should cause us to think, and what is more, that approach to Christ, that seeking for Christ, begins with an approach to ourselves. A seeking for ourselves which finds a heart, a soul, a mind so clouded and clogged with feelings and emotions and regrets and guilt and often even despair. And what would John the Baptist have us do when we find all of this stuff, this troubling stuff within us? What would he have us do? Simply admit that it's there. And what is more, that we cannot do anything about it. It just happens, even when we try for it not to. That is, our feelings and emotions and desires and regrets, they build up daily within us like a spiritual dirt of sorts. Yes, we admit that this is so. Put another way, we confess that this is so, and we really, really, really wish that it were not. And what is more, we really want to try to clean our hearts and souls and even our minds of the spiritual dirt that's built up there. That's called repentance. That's being sorry for sin within us and really wanting for it to stop. That's repentance. And the solution? The good that is Jesus Christ. Not the law of Moses. Not the denial of heaven and hell. Not being a member of a tightly run religious organization. No, the solution to our sin is Jesus Christ. For in Him and by Him and through Him do we receive the forgiveness of sin. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to convince us that this is so. So, through faith in Jesus Christ, we hold fast to Jesus Christ, to whom John the Baptist pointed. Not the Mormon Jesus, not the Muslim Jesus, the good Jesus. The good Jesus who is our Lord. The good Jesus who is our Savior. The good Jesus who still comes to us through His Word and Spirit, and He dwells in our hearts. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.